It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Respectfully, I did feel like there was a lot of respect between Embiid and Nick Nurse, but you're competing. That's good. By the way, NBA playoffs so far to me, guys, have exceeded expectations. First round matchups exceeded expectations. I mean, you've had some dominant performances like the Sixers. You've had some like close games. It's been great.
We've had some young talent too, and Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, Baby Keyshawn, we call him here on this show. Jordan Poole does it once again last night. He always makes that face whenever I call Anthony Edwards Baby Keyshawn. I don't know why. He is so you.
Y'all still fighting the rain out there?
Yep.
Yeah, we had crazy wind last night,
No,
too.
Don't leave out the wind. Wind, so it's coming in sideways.
Lost power three times last night. Like,
how's the rain and wind out where you are?
It's just fine, nice and warm. Can watch the watch all the games in peace without worrying about extra noise.
Yeah, I don't know how they got me back here. It's so hard when you
go east. You're fine. You're a New Yorker.
When you go, I am, but when you go east to west and you live in L.A., especially if you live in L.A. with some dough, I got to say it. Like, it's different because anywhere you go – is like, you know, you gotta make ends
meet.
But if you're working in entertainment in L.A.
Shut up. I don't want to see your nasty feet. Put the toe sandals down.
Flip-flops, baby.
Matter of fact, I heard someone say recently, like, so let me get this straight. So L.A., they're trying to down it. It's like if you don't have a high-paying job, it's like you're living in Queens, but the weather's nice. And I'm thinking to myself, that sounds good. Right? Like, you live in it's Queens. Like, make the weather 300 days of sun and 70 plus degrees in Queens. Everyone's like, yeah, that's a fresh place to live.
The only bad thing right now is that there's no Lakers playing in the post, and that's the only thing. So I got to root for somebody else now.
Yeah. Who you root for?
You know, I'm switching to. I'm Golden State now.
Golden State, California.
Yeah, I'm all Golden State, baby.
See, sometimes
you got a big state to work
sometimes
with.
Sometimes you want to find that other team from your area ish. And then it reps where you're from. And other times it's like there's too much envy.
I'm a rep the state. Jay knows my philosophy on that. If the Lakers are out.
You ain't going to – not the Clippers?
Not the Clippers.
No, I don't mess with the Clippers. No, it's like UCLA. I don't mess with UCLA.
Right.
But I'm going all the way up to the Bay Area. I'm going to grab that.
I can respect that.
And if the Sacramento Kings was in it, I'd grab them too.
Yeah.
If they were.
You go Sixers. You go Sixers. If the Nets aren't in it, you go Sixers?
No.
Just basic area? I do.
I don't mess with Philly.
I don't mess with Philly like that. But I feel that the way Key feels about Golden State, not that it's in state.
You can't do that, though, Max, because it's not in state.
Not in
no,
state.
But New York is not like that. Anyone other than your home team in your area, you're going to root against them. Like, I'm not going to root for the Buffalo Bills because they're supposedly the New York team. They're upstate.
See, but
New
it's
York.
Just different, though, because you talked about this the other day. Being from Jersey, Central Jersey, we feel like we're part of the New York area.
Yeah.
Like, South Jersey feels like they're part of Philly and PA and all that, how it works. So I can never rock with Philly like that. I mean, I respect Philly. I got love for them. AI, the grit.
But you're not going to root for the Celtics if the Nets drop out. Can't root for Boston.
I wouldn't root for Philly either.
So who would you root for?
I wouldn't root at all. I would just watch.
Right. Yeah, but you can't help who you root for. It just happens.
Well, NBA is different now because we root for individual players.
Yeah,
like,
good.
I root for Jason Tatum because that's my dude.
Embiid was speaking of the Sixers, Embiid was, man, he's, like, talk about well-rounded center skills. Who's ever played the position with more well-rounded skills? Again, like, I don't mean for their era, how great they are. I mean well-rounded skills both sides of the ball. Whoa.
Nobody.
Right. So he was talking about, you heard the sound coming in, him and Nick Nurse were getting into it, Embiid and Nick Nurse, and Embiid was asked about what he said to Nick Nurse during the game.
Oh, man, he's a great coach, obviously. I got a, you know, what he's been able to accomplish, and, you know, I've always been a big fan. But, you know, I told him, you know, respectfully, told him to stop my calls because I saw what he said last game.
So that's Embiid. This is what Nick Nurse had to say about what happened.
You're saying to me that, you know, I'm going to keep making all the free throws if you keep fouling me. And I said, well, you might have to. Good player, man. You got a lot of respect for him. He's certainly playing great here. There's nothing there. But us trying to compete against him and him trying to compete against us.
Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Jay, Embiid, what can you say about the guy?
That he is a dominant force, and the footwork is uniquely different. Look, this is who James Harden needs to be in order for this team to win a championship. I'm talking about the James Harden that scores 14 points, 14 to 20 points, the guy that doesn't take 25 shots. Last night he took 9. He could be more efficient, 3 of 9. 7 and 8 from the free throw line. He could be more efficient from the three-point line. But pass first, point guard, James Harden, where Tyrese Maxey goes off. Tobias Harris is giving you points. Joel Embiid, 19 points in the first quarter. This is the equation for the 76ers to win a world championship. Not James Harden dancing with the ball 9,000 times, getting up 35 jacks. He needs to be this version of himself for this team to be the best version of themselves to win it all.
Well, I think that he's buying into what Doc Rivers is selling. Clearly, you could tell based on his style of play has shifted from when he was at Brooklyn or Houston or even the first several games when he got to beat the Sixers. Now, all of a sudden, he is playing the guard position. He is distributing the ball, getting out the way, not sitting there dribble, 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 step back. I mean, he did it once or twice last night for the most part, but it wasn't all game long. He allowed Embiid to do what he needed to do. And then you mentioned Maxey. Obviously, he stepped up to the plate. His game has turned into a whole nother world. So I think for the Sixers, though, they got to continue to keep that up. This is round one. It is Toronto. It gets tougher as it goes on.
I got to tell you right now, though, based on what you guys are talking about, I think Philly, I didn't think they really had a championship window this year. I changed my mind. I think they're very live to win it all because of Maxey's emergence on the biggest stage. He's gotten better and better throughout his short career so far, this season included, and now has taken it to another level. And what this does is, what you just said, Jay, now Harden just sets up teammates and he can hit a shot here and there. The pressure is no longer on James Harden to hit the big shot in the big moment to win the game for you, because he has not done that throughout his career in the playoffs because of Maxey's emergence. And now Tobias Harris is your fourth option on offense?
Oh, I still think the pressure will be there, but I think this time around James Harden actually will have the legs. Like, let's not act like when before in Brooklyn playing with injury. In Houston, he always played so many minutes and had to do so much. Now you get a lot more hockey assists, right? Mm. He'll kick the ball up to Tyrese. Tyrese will drive, penetrate, kick it to Tobias for a three. That's how you want to play. That's the continuity that Philly really needs. And you need his legs to be there when you need him the most.
Can they win the whole thing right now?
I mean, look, they're beating up on a depleted Toronto team, but they're doing what they have to do. I would have them favored against Miami. I mean, I think they have a legit chance to win the whole thing.
You know, I'd like to see him against Milwaukee. I really would like to see him against Milwaukee.
Yeah. Eastern Conference Finals.
It'll tell me a lot just because you got Giannis over there, you got Middleton, you got Drew Holiday. I mean, it'll be a different feel.
That's if Milwaukee gets through Boston or Brooklyn.
But Milwaukee and Boston are the two teams, right? They function like well-oiled machines. They're well-coached. They've played together for a while. And on top of that, they have high-end superstars who you believe, you can win a title with that guy as your best player. Whereas Boston, and to an extent Philadelphia, are more collection of talent trying to figure out how to be a team. But Philly, I think, is a little closer to that than Brooklyn.
The only thing I would say that for Philly and Milwaukee, key that you mentioned, is that Brook Lopez, I don't see him stopping Joel Embiid, but it's still a physical big body that you can put in front. I don't know who they have that can stop Giannis, right? Like, nobody's stopping. Giannis is the biggest outlier in the entire league, it feels like.
So it's going to be a wash then between Giannis and Embiid. Those two will be a wash.
They've had some great matchups over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, they've gotten each other too. But it's always they both put up monster numbers. And by the way, you give the MVP to either one of those guys. You know, like Jokic, Giannis, Embiid. You give the MVP to any one of those guys.
We got to have a conversation about Jokic today. Yeah, Serious conversation about Jokic.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. That's Alan Yates, Sixers fan, on the soundboard. Look, you got baby Keyshawn in the playoffs, according to Jay. That's in the Western. That's in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference.
Western Conference, Minnesota.
Oh, excuse me.
I got you.
Western Conference. I was thinking of the Philly game. In the Western Conference playoffs that we just saw, Steph Curry, you might have a baby Steph, too. And Jay is going to tell you about the impact that can have on the Golden State Warriors. We're back in less than 2 minutes. ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This song in honor of Key, you had an was this yesterday you went to the car wash?
Yeah, man, I rolled out the car wash. I had about an hour and 10 minutes to kill off. You know, we had our call at 3:30 East Coast time, 12:30 my time. So I got to the car wash about, I don't know, it was 12 o'clock. And, you know, they put my car through. And then rather than them get right on it and start to, you know, dry off the water with the towels, it sat there for like 20 minutes. It just sat there. And
nobody
they was cleaning
touched
off.
It? Nothing?
Nobody. Man, they got water spots all on my windows. And I'm standing there, and I'm up against the clock now because I'm waiting to get on the call with you guys. So I'm on the call with you guys, but I also had a meeting that I needed to attend promptly at 1 o'clock, and it was up against the clock. And so I'm like, and I got to drive across town to do this. I'm like, man, these people just act like, and you want to know why I won't tip you the way you need to be tipped. Jeez. It just, no, ain't no Jesus.
How do you say, mean? I just said geez.
Oh, geez.
How often do you get your car washed? Because L.A., it can be dusty, but it doesn't rain.
No, I get it probably once a week.
Once a week, you get it washed.
In the Northeast, man, I can't do it because it's raining. It's always some kind of snow.
No, it's got to be
summertime.
Clean, man.
Summertime is when I get it washed once a week.
No, see,
you got kids and stuff. Max, they got all the
stuff all in there. Crackers.
No,
everywhere.
I really. There's a rule: don't eat in my car. But then when you got the baby,
hard.
Yeah, it's hard to tell her she can't have the little pretzel
thingies. Once you break the seal, it's tough.
But in all honesty, I don't even. Like the car seat is in the trunk until I need it.
Why don't you just keep the car seat in the back? So you got to buckle it and buckle it.
Nope, that's okay.
Found myself, Key, one day, literally driving downtown. I got the music going. I'm feeling young. I'm hip. I got my shades on. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Had the windows down, pull up to a stoplight. Somebody walks by, they look at me. I'm like, yep, still got it. And I look in the back, I got two car seats. I was like, I don't got it.
No, I don't care about that. I care about cleaning out the car seat and getting all the
crumbs
in the back. Yeah, you got to take it out.
And so once they clean out the car seat, I'm throwing it in the trunk too. I need it again.
What I need to know, Key, is in your neck of the woods, people get people over to the house to detail the car and everything.
No.
Yeah, no, they do that all day long.
Yeah, they do.
Somebody over my house to wash my car.
They got the big vans and stuff.
Yeah,
they
detail the whole thing. But that's not an every week thing.
But then I get into the max category. I don't want to spend.
Yeah, I can't.
Wait a minute. How would I get tagged?
Why would I want to do that? I'm not trying to know. Nah, not for a car wash. I'll do it myself.
Max, it's like $100 to wash your car when they come.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hold up. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. I mean, Steph, 34 years old, dropped 34 off the bench. 34 years, like it's nothing. You don't even blink. You just...
I missed that. What happened? JD was arguing? They was getting ready to scuffle or something?
Who are you talking about?
The Nuggets.
Will Barton and DeMarcus Cousins?
Oh, I missed that. I don't know how I missed that. That just got by me.
Yeah, they had a little bit of an issue throughout the course of the game, a little miscommunication. It happens.
Jokic was getting into it a little bit in that game.
Well, Jokic got the tech. I mean, Jokic was very in his own emotional bag last night. But honestly, when you look at some of the players he's playing with, you would be in your own emotional bag too.
Well, some of the players that Steph is playing with are the same from that death lineup from 2015, 16, 17, right? You had back then Steph and Clay and Iggy and Harrison Barnes and Draymond Green. That was the small ball lineup. And then they turned Harrison Barnes somehow into Kevin Durant and hardly ever lost again, right? But now they come up with Jordan Poole, Jay.
Yo, listen to me and hear me closely on this one, y'all. Jordan Poole has extended the Warriors championship window for another 5 years.
5 years?
5 years, man. Like, if they could, he's the 28th pick in the 2019 draft. I remember watching him at Michigan and thinking, this kid can be a prolific scorer. Right now, I didn't know it was going to translate this quickly to the league, but the fact that he is not a finalist for most improved player in the league is just an atrocity. Right, like you got top five picks who are up for this award, and Ja Morant and Darius Garland, DeJounte Murray's in this conversation too. But this dude can do everything that Steph and Clay. He's been mentored by both of them. He could dance with the ball. Look at the shots that he's making.
Yeah.
And he's an elite passer. He made behind the back passes last night to people trailing in transition. We're like, damn, you're adding him, an explosive scorer, to the continuity of Steph. Came off the bench last night and dropped 30.
And they got long, athletic guys that they've drafted too. Listen to what Steve Kerr said about Jordan Poole and what he's picked up from Steph.
Some of the flurries out there from him tonight reminded me of his teammate who came off the bench a little bit. It's pretty remarkable to see the similarities now that you know with both the on and off ball stuff. I mean, Jordan has had a pretty good apprenticeship with learning from Steph, but he was fantastic tonight.
You know, he's been sitting around for a while waiting for this moment. He, like you said, Jay, in 2019, coming out of Michigan, you can see especially last year, the year before, you could see a little bit of flash here and there, but you didn't see this. I mean, this is something different. But when you're around a guy like Steph Curry and you're around veteran players that play at a high level, that sort of stuff just rubs off on you. You know, when you are not, you know, Jay, when you're not accustomed to going out shooting 500 jumpers or threes or whatever you want to call them, then all of a sudden Steph Curry grabs you by the wrist and says, man, I'm getting ready to go shoot. Come out here with me. And then all of a sudden you out there shooting. You look up and you just getting more practice and more practice and more practice, and it turns into 29 points, 5 boards, and 6 assists.
It's also just the environment you're around and who you're competing against and all that is it will tend to bring out the best, right? Like, you rise or fall to what's around you a lot of the time. So if Poole is there with the scenarios that Key just brought everyone through, it's not just like he's getting shots up. He's getting shots up with Steph Curry.
But you're even seeing the moves, though, like the little push-out dribble, and then he combines that with a step back at the same time. It's a different iteration of Steph. He's not as prolific shooter as Steph, but it's a different iteration of Steph. And think about what that does for Klay Thompson. Now, listen, if you're Klay, right, there's not the same pressure on you to come back and be that elite player that you were before you got hurt 2 years ago. It's just, yo, man, you're looking at it. I'm sitting there looking at Memphis, and I'm looking at Phoenix, and I'm saying, yo, this team that could win a championship right here.
Golden Warriors? State Warriors, championship right here. I mean, like, it's funny because you talk about the Splash Brothers, Steph and Clay, but you have Poole and Wiggins. Like how many guards, you know, athletic or else shooters do you need in your backcourt?
And Draymond did a hell of a job on Jokic. I mean, they were so physical with him. They gave him a variety of different looks defensively. They frustrated him. And, you know, the conversation comes out of that for Jokic. Look, man, when you look at Jokic on this team, a lot of people last night, the narrative on social media was, well, I'm watching Jalen Brunson carry the Mavericks and to beat Utah all by himself. He had 41 points. And how come Jokic can't carry his team? I'm like, man, do you know who Jokic is playing with? Like,
nope.
Like, that's a,
I don't. Tell me, Jay.
He's playing with guys, and I like guys, but like Aaron Gordon – received the bag, and he has been doing nothing. It didn't even feel like his ass was on the court last night.
Well, I mean, but Aaron Gordon is probably their second best player.
Will Barton, Monte Morris.
I love you, Jay, but ain't no excuses for me.
Come on,
I can't buy it, man.
Key, come on.
If I'm that dude, I'm putting it on my back. I don't care. I'm going
to LeBron James couldn't get the Lakers to the playoffs this year. LeBron.
Wait, LeBron James has been in and out of the damn lineup, too.
But, Key, if you were to take Joel Embiid and put Embiid on the same lineup with the Nuggets, it would be the same result. You know that, right?
All I know is what I see.
I'm just trying to tell you, it would be the exact same result. Like, Joel Embiid wouldn't be able to carry this team past the Golden State Warriors with the way they can shoot the ball from the outside. This is being real about it.
No, of course.
I just don't think that should be an argument used against Jokic. If you have Embiid as your MVP, fine. But don't try to make this because they got beat up by the Golden State Warriors.
I want to see the same sort of intensity for Jokic in the postseason as the regular season. That's all.
The bottom line is you need there's a requisite level of skill you need around you and talent you need around you to succeed in the playoffs against the team that we just mentioned has Steph and Clay and Dre. And by the way, Poole and Wiggins. And then they have guys who didn't even really play like but are long guys who with athletic upside like Kuminga and guys like this on the roster. That is not the situation. Jokic's second best player is Aaron Gordon now.
So I'll tell you this. Next year you should have Denver close to the NBA Finals or the Western Finals. If they get Jamal Murray back, which he's on the verge of coming back right now, he's just choosing not to. He's been cleared to play. He's been choosing not to with Michael Porter Jr. in this lineup. They could be Western Conference Finals type of team.
Especially with Porter Jr.
Yeah. Saying that.
Steph Curry's 34 off the bench. By the way, I didn't even mention this. In 23 minutes is the fastest 30-point playoff game in the shot clock era.
That's
since 54-55. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So we found, finally, they figured out a way for Josh Allen to not lose to Patrick Mahomes in a big game.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Okay, our mock draft, it begins today. You've been hearing so much about it on this show. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And this is how it's going to work. You're going to hear that draft sound. Evan, why don't we show them that draft sound? You're going to hear Dun, 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 dun.
That was a good imitation. That was a good try.
And then.
There it is. Better late than never.
Ah, it feels so good.
And then.
Money in your bank account, Key. When you hear that sound in your name, woo.
The four picks will be made at 9 a.m. today. Jacksonville Jags, Detroit Lions, Houston Texans, and the New York Jets. Tomorrow, we're going to make four more picks, including two by my Giants. If you're a Panthers fan and you want to make the pick for the Panthers tomorrow, because the way we do it is sometimes we have someone like Alan Hahn, he's going to pick for the Jets, or Daniel Dopp's going to pick for the Lions, but a caller picked for Jacksonville, also for the Texans. If you want to pick for the Panthers for tomorrow's show, call us right now at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. All right. Key, Jay, speaking of the NFL, Tom Brady told ESPN's Tom Van Haren yesterday, listen to this one, there's still a place for me on the field. Here's the interesting part to me, Key. I know I don't have a lot left. I really do. I know I'm at the end of my career. He's saying that now. Before, when I thought he was fading to the eye, it looked like, oh, he's missing guys. He's like, no, I got plenty left. Now it looks like, oh, he could do this forever. And he's saying that he feels like he's towards the end.
There's the cheese.
I wish you could go
he
on.
He got back to the cheese again.
Yeah, got it.
That's delicious. Gosh.
He's going to quit now.
I wish you could go on forever, Brady went on to say. But to miss these things, I wanted to give myself and my – sorry, excuse me. But it's not just – it's just not football and comes at too high of a cost now. My kids are getting older. It's just getting harder and harder to miss these things. But I wanted to give myself and my teammates in our organization another incredible opportunity to accomplish something that we're all very proud of. He said, I know my body physically could still do and what it can obviously – and obviously I love the game. I think I'll always have love for the game. I do think physically I'll be able to do it. I just felt there was still a place for me on the field. How much longer is Brady going to play, Key?
It's year to year. Right? I can't see him let me stop before I go. I can't see him continuing to play. Hell, I thought he was done several months ago. But it's year to year. I think in this situation, right, Byron Leftwich will probably get a head coaching job after the season. And does he want to start with a new coordinator all over again? So it's year to year.
I agree, Jay.
I mean, it's always been year to year, though. This isn't – look, I think you're dealing with the greatest to ever do it from the quarterback position, who is fighting with when will he be able to call it quits. And that's a conversation that you end up having with yourself, because I would take that back. I wouldn't use the word quit. When would I feel complete, right? When will it feel like it's enough for me?
Got it out of your system.
And it never really leaves your system. You have to come to ease with that. But I think we're witnessing in real time, Key, how he's processing that as he goes to another run of that. And who knows where he'll be next year.
I believe him now. Let me tell you why. Remember what I said when he first retired? It's like he was like, my family has sacrificed so much for me. Now I have to sacrifice for them. I thought, that's not how it works. If I would have heard him say, I can still play this game at a high level, but I'm missing it. You know, my kids are growing up, and I'm not. I want to be there. That's different than saying they sacrificed for me. Now I have to sacrifice for them, because that implies that I infer from that you really don't want to stop playing, but you feel like people are making you. This is different. Now, Key, this is different. Yeah. He's saying this is coming from him.
Yeah, but now he's also saying that, you know, his kids are getting a little bit older, and you know, he's missing those things. So it's telling you how he's feeling about, you know, missing the opportunity to be there every single night, every single day, but he wants to give it one last run. And I don't see why he shouldn't. If he feels he can still play, it looks like he can still play, go ahead, give him one more run.
Guys, but
go right ahead and do it.
This is where I think we just overlook Tom Brady. Yo, this dude is a marketing genius. You know that, right? Now we just transitioned from inferring on his comment to now saying, hey, just give it one last run. It just sets it up for everything that Tom Brady wants to do. Man in the Arena podcast, TB12, his company, the attention that he's going to get this year. And I'm not saying that he does it like Aaron Rodgers does it to a degree, right?
Different.
But he gives you little crumbles. And people, like, you just follow it. You just eat it up because it's Tom Brady. He's been doing this for the past couple of years.
It just sounds like I did not sound like a credible, not threat, but kind of course of action where he was going to sacrifice this thing he loved doing for his family. This sounds credible to me. He's feeling the pull of the missing. It's coming from within him, right? That means, and I agree, Key, it doesn't feel to me like Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron Rodgers gave me the feeling, I want everyone to pay attention to me and pay attention to this, and I'm going to do it to you again next year and the following year. To me, it feels, Key, like Brady is trying to figure this out for real and just letting people know, like, this could be it.
Yeah, I don't think, look, he is a opportunity to market certain things that he may be involved with, but I don't think he's taking this opportunity to do that. It just so happened to be aligned with his play on the field. And he really is conflicted about, or was conflicted about, whether or not to play football again. And when you initially, after the end of the season, you go through some emotions. You're ticked off. I'm out of here. I'm tired of this. I didn't win. I'm gone. And then you take a step back. You get on that nice yacht that he has, and you cruise around and, you know, have a few cocktails, and you start to think about it. Go visit your family and your friends, and you say, you know what, I still want to play football, so I'm going to give it one more shot. It's a calming down period that you have to go through, and he went through that period.
Yeah, Key, I wasn't saying that this is intentional marketing as saying I have a product that I'm trying to sell. I'm saying it's subconsciously he's programming people because of his vulnerability about where he actually is. And when you have the greatest of all time who's being vulnerable about his struggle about whether he can actually want to play the sport for a longer period of time, that gets people even more intrigued in the product naturally.
Well, I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers, as I said, it feels like different motivations for kind of publicly saying it than Rodgers, but Brady and Rodgers are going to do something.
Well, Max, real quick, coming to the end, what does that mean? Does that mean another 3 years? 4 years? what is that? Like, legitimately, Key, what is that? Everybody would naturally insinuate that means this year, but I don't take it that way.
So it's not coming out of the blue. It could be this year. It could be at the end of this year.
It could be at the end of this year. Yeah. Most likely it's at the end of the year. Son, kids are getting 1 year old. Like, you at some point, Jay, you can't keep doing it. I don't care how much you feel you could do it. You just can't keep doing it because there's other priorities that are there.
Understood.
That you want to be able to deal with, so, like family.
Speaking of Brady and Rodgers, Turner Sports' latest exhibition golf challenge known as The Match got Brady and Rodgers teaming up. The old guard, you know, and right now NFC, you know, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus the new up-and-comers in the AFC. Mm. One of them a champion, Patrick Mahomes, and the other, you know, wanting to get there, Josh Allen. There's the four are currently the top four favorites to win MVP, according to Caesars. All right, Allen is plus 700, Mahomes plus 750, Brady plus 900, Rodgers plus 1,000. So Allen is the favorite, Josh Allen, to win MVP. But I get why Rodgers and Brady would be on the same team. I get it. They're the greatest, and they're old, and they're both in the same conference.
They're old.
And I get why Mahomes and Allen would do it, too, because there just aren't enough Super Bowls to go around. But Josh Allen looks like he's primed to win one, and Mahomes has already done it. But, Key, it's like there's a big three in the NFL of Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes. And then you get to the next bucket for a lot of people, as you would say, because those are the champions, not just the eye test, but also have the resume, right? But does it have to be Josh Allen? Like, Josh Allen's a perfectly good choice, but should he be the number one choice to be the fourth, to be Mahomes' partner? Because we could just look at young, great AFC quarterbacks. Does it have to be Josh Allen?
No, it doesn't have to be Josh Allen, but he probably, I guess, I'm assuming he's good at golf. They could have taken Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. I don't know why they selected Josh Allen, but I think when you start to look at the AFC quarterbacks, for instance, you got Patrick Mahomes. Then you have a debate, right, next in line. Is it Deshaun Watson, who was missing last season didn't play? Is it Josh Allen? Who's the next guy in line? Is it Derek Carr? The next guy in line? Is it a Russell Wilson trying to, I don't want to say revitalize his career, but revitalize the way people think about him as a quarterback in the AFC? Is it Justin Herbert? Is it Joe Burrow? Lamar Jackson? Like, it's so many different quarterbacks.
But you just went through a whole bunch of guys. Jay, like, to me, Russell Wilson's a little older, right? We're talking about young guys. Matt Stafford just won a Super Bowl. He's not only older, but NFC. But Burrow, Herbert, Lamar Jackson, those are the other guys to me that should be in that conversation.
I agree, but Allen should be the guy right now. Like, Allen should be. I mean, he had the shootout with Patrick Mahomes that they lost, right? That you felt like they were right there. It feels like your team has constantly gotten better and better each year. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards. He has 36 TDs. Adding 736 yards on the ground and 6 TDs on the ground. Devin Singletary, their leading rusher, only outrushed by 100 yards. So, like, I feel like his ability to do everything for this team puts him at the top echelon right there next to Patrick Mahomes, waiting to burst in.
An eyeball test, he also can not only run it, but he can really, like, his arm is special, right? The only thing I would say about that is this. Let me play devil's advocate, and I might even buy into one or two of these arguments, okay? I get why Josh Allen, he just had the showdown with Patrick Mahomes. Well, Joe Burrow just got past Patrick Mahomes into the Super Bowl, and it was his first full season. Like, he hasn't been in the league for 4 years to improve every year like Josh Allen. Got hurt his first year, came back, got right past Patrick Mahomes, who, by the way, played poorly against Joe Burrow down the stretch, into the Super Bowl, came one play away from winning it. There's Joe Burrow. Justin Herbert, Key, is like his talent.
You got to make the playoffs, man.
Okay, I get it, but his talent is through the roof.
I don't want to hear any more about his talent. You got to make the playoffs.
He's been in the league 2 years.
I know. We talk about Zach LaVine had some crazy talent. Oh, Zach LaVine, he's so talented. I'm like, yeah, where's he going to playoffs?
Just so you know, Justin Herbert had one of the great rookie seasons ever for a quarterback. Understood. And got better his second year. I'm just going through it case by case. Lamar Jackson is younger than Joe Burrow. Key, he's won an MVP.
But I don't think, to be honest with you, though, Max, I don't think Lamar Jackson is playing no golf, though, to keep it 100 with you.
We're just talking football, though.
Tying the golf into it because he was selected. Josh Allen was selected to play with them dudes.
Do we know Joe Burrow plays
golf? What kind of country club do you think Lamar Jackson would be going to?
I don't think, in all honesty, I'm going to keep it 100. I don't think that Lamar Jackson is going to be picking up any clubs anytime soon, but I could be wrong.
Extracurricular activities.
I think you say, well, you know, the younger guys, I understand. Russell Wilson isn't old, though. Russell Wilson is going to play another 10 years in the National Football League.
We're talking about dudes in their early mid-20s.
So when you look at it, you know, Deshaun Watson is there. He's still young. Yeah. Josh Allen, young. Joe Burrow, young. Justin Herbert. I think Joe Burrow, though, I know he went to the Super Bowl, and I know you're like the fan club president of Joe Burrow, yes. Max. But it feels like to me that he's going to get the Cincinnati Bengal treatment throughout his career, which is, they were good, and then all of a sudden the team is just, the organization is just going to always be at a certain level and never continue to take it over the top on a consistent basis like Kansas City, like a Pittsburgh. It's going to be, they're just going to be, well, they're going to miss the playoffs. They got a great quarterback. They're going to miss the playoffs. They might make the playoffs. You know, I just go back in my mind thinking about the history of that organization.
But it seems like he changed it as soon as we blink. Boom, he's in the Super Bowl, like first full. Hey, let's bring Mike Tannenbaum, our very own GM, into this. Mike, we're really talking about the hierarchy, like this golf match between Brady and Rodgers on one team, and then it's Mahomes, and Josh Allen is the fourth guy in, right? It's really talking about the hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks. Does Josh Allen deserve to be the fourth quarterback in that hierarchy, or should it be, you know, among the young guys, Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or someone else?
Yeah, look, we're talking about all great quarterbacks, but I got to put Burrow fourth. I mean, the guy took the Cincinnati Bengals, as he just said, to the Super Bowl. So, while I think Josh Allen is a dynamic young talent, to me, Burrow is clearly the fourth quarterback in this conversation.
See, I don't know. I like Josh Allen. I think he's going to take a step back because the offensive coordinator is now with the New York Giants and Brian Daboll, and they're trying out a new guy and Ken Dorsey, who was on the staff, who coached the quarterbacks. but it's about calling the plays. It's about understanding the rhythm of the quarterback and things of that nature. And for a first-timer, I don't know if he could do it. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, for me, is a great story in his second year, leading Cincinnati to a Super Bowl, and possibly they could have won the Super Bowl if it wasn't for Aaron Donald. We don't know. We didn't get a chance to see that. It didn't happen. I just think that Cincinnati's organization, for some reason, is going to fail this young man. It's just the
based
way that
on
I
their
feel
history.
About it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mike T, I would ask history. You, do you think Cincinnati will make it back to the Super Bowl? If you have Joe Burrow as a fourth-ranked quarterback, do you see them making another run out of AFC?
No, not yet, because I would still put the Chargers ahead of them and the Chiefs ahead of them, just from a standpoint of I think the Chargers had a great offseason. I think they're even ahead of Kansas City heading into this year. So Cincinnati's in the AFC. If they were in the NFC, Jay Will, I think it's a totally different discussion. But, you know, the AFC is loaded. And, oh, by the way, like, we keep forgetting this. Like, Tennessee was the number one seed, and Derrick Henry missed most of the year last year. And to me, Derrick Henry's still one of the 10 best players in the NFL that's not a quarterback.
You know what's funny about Joe Burrow is – like, one of the reasons I'm such a big fan is he has all that stuff, right? Like, you trust him under pressure, and he has the moxie, and everyone talks about that. It doesn't look the same key, as you would say, as Justin Herbert, but Joe Burrow can run. He can really throw. He's 6'4". Like, he has the – like, it pops more somehow, the eyeball test with Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. But Joe Burrow has real talent like that, in addition, Mike, to the intangibles, I think.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. And look, let's give them credit. They added Alex Kappa. They added Lyle Collins, Karras. So they've done some things to help that offensive line. But what they did last year, to me, was so remarkable that if Joe Burrow doesn't get dramatically better with pass protection, get rid of the ball, like, he's going to have a greatly diminished career. It's just unsustainable to keep doing what he's doing. He's already missed part of a year with an ACL. And again, to their credit, I think their offensive line is much better, but to me, like, Herbert, Mahomes, certainly Lamar, those guys are so much better athletically and a movement standpoint. I think that will help them from a longevity standpoint.
Mike T, speaking of the AFC, what are your thoughts on Andy Reid saying the Chiefs' offense won't be much different without Tyreek Hill?
I think they're still going to be explosive, but, you know, Jay, well, working with some of the defensive coaches I've worked with, Coach Parcells, Belichick, Coach Mangini, Rex Ryan, this is an offense that will be much more diverse and hard to defend from a standpoint that Ronald Jones, Edwards-Helaire, Kelce, they can all catch the ball. They've added Smith-Schuster, Valdez-Scantling. Now, look, I think Tyreek Hill is a great player and give Miami a lot of credit for getting him. But I think this is an offense that will be different but still very, very difficult to defend because whoever you take away, they really have a number of players that can make plays in the passing game.
And I've been saying this the entire time. The Cheetah can't be replaced. There's no question about his explosive plays and some of the dynamic things that he could do with the football in his hands. But what you can do is you have multiple receivers that you now can deploy into the offense, which is what they want to do. Andy Reid had James Thrash, and Todd Stinkston, okay? And he wind up taking them and going to the Super Bowl and winning a lot of games in Philadelphia with those receivers. And if you don't think that he can get something out of the guys that he has in Kansas City, then we sadly mistaken.
Hey, Key, looking at this graphic, I mean, Patrick Mahomes at 347 yards per game without Tyreek Hill. Again, to me, guys, whatever sport we're talking about, basketball, baseball, greatness to me is about making those around you better. And when you're paying Patrick Mahomes $45 billion a year, what you need to do is you need to make everybody else around you better, and Tyreek Hill's going to graduate. And this is the year to me that Patrick Mahomes has to go to the whole next level of taking Smith-Schuster, whoever it is, and winning a lot of games with somebody who's not Tyreek Hill.
Mike, we have about a minute, but I was interested in your thoughts about your theory that the receiver position, because of all the supply coming out of college this year, would feel downward pressure in terms of the salaries they get, because we saw it explode. And now Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, McLaurin, they're all skipping workouts to get paid, right? What do you think has happened with supply and demand and the prices of receivers?
Yeah, well, we know about expensive receivers. So what we have to do is we have to keep drafting young receivers, guys. And that's why I think a week from Thursday, we'll see maybe six receivers go in the first round because McLaurin, guys like DK Metcalf, not all those guys will be able to re-sign, Max, and therefore we got to keep adding great young receivers, and there's so many in this year's draft.
Yep, that is correct.
Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, and Mike's coming back to talk a lot of stuff, including what's going on in Cleveland. Thanks, Mike. Our mock draft is in 2 hours. We're back in a few minutes. That's next on ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.